following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting.
Good morning, everybody. Glad that you are here and well enough to be here. I know some of our folks are not feeling well. I won't list all of them, but you'll notice the Brattons aren't here today. They're under the weather. Vincent, I think, took ill Thursday and Friday, and I don't know who else. I'm probably forgetting some others, but in any case, we're glad that you're all able to be here. We have new calendars out. If you want to grab one of those from the young men there at the back, thank the Lord for them standing in for those that are normally there. A couple of announcements this morning. We just want to, again, give a special welcome to Bobby and Nadia up here in the front row. If you haven't met them yet, you must come and meet them. Delightful folks, dedicated ministers of the Lord. Looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do with them as they partner with the Proto family in Uruguay in their next term. And that will come in due course, but we welcome you again today. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make your ministry a blessing. We have an announcement here about Easter music. If you'd be interested to sing with an ensemble, then please meet at the front of the auditorium following the morning service. And our brother Bobby has assured me that he's going to get himself into your good graces by ending at noon sharp. So you won't have any trouble, Dan, talking with people about music today. We have afternoon service at the American House at 3:30. I could use a little extra assistance at the American House today because usually the Brattons come, but they're not going to be able to. So if you are able to come and help general setup with music, piano, or any of that nature, just let me know after the service today, and we'll be I'll be very happy to have additional assistance today with that. So, and then at 6 o'clock we'll be back tonight, and Brother Vallette will give some more from the Word, and we'll get to know them a little bit better even yet this evening. You can see the other events upcoming there as well. I think I'll let you read through those and add them to your calendar. We'll just go ahead and open our service with prayer. We prayed earlier for Kaylee. Jansen is here, right there in the towards the back, and he's visiting today with friend Timothy. Timothy is a missionary kid from Uruguay and also graduating from ABC, and just happened to be visiting today when other missionaries from Uruguay are here. So that's a nice coincidence that the Lord arranged for us. But we prayed for Kaylee's safe travels back from South Africa and a couple of other things as well. So join us in prayer as we open our service, and then we'll begin our song service this morning. Father, we humbly bow before you. We ask that you would quiet our hearts from the many things that are therein, vying for our attention and trying to distract us from what we would do today, this morning, in this service, and that is to worship you. Lord, all of the things in the world fade away when we compare them with you and with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you, Lord, would fill our vision, unite our hearts to fear your name, incline us to walk in your statutes. Let us not stray into the path of iniquity. Lord, we confess those many times that we have done that very thing. And we ask that you would cleanse us by the ever-powerful blood of Christ. Bring us close to yourself. We commit our ways to you, Lord, and ask for you to watch over us today. May your Son be honored in our midst as we profess him, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask if the gentleman would come forward and take up the offering this morning. We're going to postpone the reading until a little bit later in the service. Carolyn, thank you for ministering in song to us as well. Now let us pray again. Father, we bow before you this morning and give you thanks for the offering of music and also for the offerings of finances that have been gathered this morning, collected for the use of your work here. We do thank you for this. Father, we also want to pray this morning for those on each of our short list of evangelism targets, if you will. Father, we pray for salvation. Many of us have names on our minds even right now of people, souls, eternal souls, who are lost and need Christ. We pray for those ones and pray for ourselves in whatsoever way we can minister the gospel to them. We pray for grace for those who are getting over illnesses or who are presently not feeling well, especially those who are in a chronic illness of some sort or another. A couple of our dear offspring in the church here, Lord, have lifelong afflictions, and some will soon see doctors more about that or have a special appointment upcoming in the next weeks. We pray, Lord, that you help the parents of these ones to trust you in all things and be benefited by the services that are provided by the experts in the areas of need that their children in particular have. Lord, we pray that you will grant mercy and help and respite when needed for these who are giving care for those young ones, offspring who are not well. Lord, we pray too for our young people in the church to be matured and not to be captivated by any worldly thing or any addiction, whether it's of a substance or of an activity. Lord, we ask that you will watch over our ones this way. We humbly ask and know we need your help. We need your work in their hearts and ours as well. We pray for a friend of the church, remote from here, Larry Kleindienst, and ask that you will help him recover from his heart attack and the stent that he had and all of that, that all will be well. We pray that he'll go on a long time after this with no ill effects from that. We want to pray, Lord, and thanks, too, for Drew's new job situation, and pray that the presentation went well on Friday. We hope that all has gone according to plan or even better. We also pray, Lord, for Pastor John White, who, although not of our fellowship or our immediate circle of ministerial friends, still is one who was ministering in the name of Christ, and his wife has now left him, gone for heaven, and he is by himself, and we pray that you would encourage and strengthen his heart as well. Lord, we're woefully unable to mention publicly all the requests that have come to our attention, not even able to remember all of them at this moment, but you certainly can care for all of these ones. And we pray again for the Valettes as they partner with the Protos to minister as a team in Uruguay. May there be great success there in that town. And Lord, I know that the abilities that you have given to this couple in ministry and teaching and preaching and counseling and visitation is needed there, is going to be very useful. And I'm just thinking of some of the names and faces of people that I saw myself when I was there. And I think some of them that I'm thinking of are still with the church. But Lord, you know the needs that are there. Beside all of that, beside the personal needs and the needs of discipleship, they have a project to remodel a building so that they would have a suitable home for their church and minister. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd help them with all of those needs there in that place. And so we partner with them in this matter of prayer and ask that you'd help us. We pray for our brother as he, Mariano, as he's in a special conference this weekend, that you will help us help him, rather, to enjoy that and be benefited by it and be able to critically evaluate all that he receives there and be able to put some of it to good use in their own ministry. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray your blessing on each of these requests. Thank you for these men who have served us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus in chapter 20. We left the reading until later in the service, as we have done in time past, as you're aware, for some of the more sensitive subjects that come up in the law. But this is where we are in our consecutive reading through Scripture. So we will take it for the profit that God has intended it for us this morning. Leviticus chapter 20. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Again you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who gives any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name." This is speaking about human sacrifice, isn't it? Yes, and we mentioned before, child sacrifice was prevalent among the pagan people of that time and even became somewhat of a part of the nation of Israel. And as disgusting and barbaric as that was, the sad thing was that the law was not enforced. Not only did they break the law this way, but then the law wasn't enforced by others in the nation often. So, very sad situation. Verse number 4, "And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man whom he gives, when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people, and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech." There's a metaphorical or figurative use of the idea of prostitution, of harlotry, being idolatry, leaving the unique and only relationship that they were bound to under God and going after other gods. Verse 6, "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God." I want to again remind you of that phrase, "I am the Lord your God." That was the basis of the holiness code in the laws of Israel. Verse 8, "And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." That's a pretty serious word, isn't it? The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Well, that would solve a lot of problems in a way, wouldn't it? A lot of complications, but it creates its own complications, obviously, but with people wanting to be merciful, worse than that, wanting to just be promiscuous. But verse 11, "The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Again, I remind you, dear friends, that the Scripture is very clear about this. We are reading the ancient law of Israel here. That's what it says. That is what it says. Verse 14, "If a man marries a woman and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there may be no wickedness among you. If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his guilt. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness and uncovers her nakedness and he has exposed her flow and she has uncovered the flow of her blood, both of them shall be cut off from their people. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister nor of your father's sister, for that would uncover his near of kin. They shall bear their guilt. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless." This is a lot just like what we read in chapter 18 a couple of weeks ago. "If a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things and therefore I abhor them. Just think in your mind now for a moment. How old is this text? How long ago was this? 3,500 years ago. There's nothing new under the sun. All the stuff that we see today, or that is trying to be normalized today, has already been done in the past this way. And we're just reminded of God's holiness here. But I have said to you, verse 24, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean, and you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Thus reads the word of the Lord, my friends. Amen. All right. Well, maybe a little bit of a rough segue, but from that, we turn, Bobby, to you and to your message from the Word. So please come and share with us. The balance of the morning meeting is yours. Brother, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Nadia.
Well, the importance of preaching the whole counsel of God. Well, let me just say, as a form of introduction, just wanted to thank you for all the times that you have allowed your pastor to minister with us on the field, whether it be in Chile, Uruguay, or Argentina. It's been a blessing to have him with us and hear him exposit the word and just challenge us and be a blessing to us on the field. We get together once a year as families, and we treasure that time to be together for the fellowship, but we also like the fact that we are the ones being challenged from God's word, and it's good to have somebody who's very capable in that area and also very compassionate, and also been a part of our mission board for quite a while as well. So I appreciate you guys giving him the opportunity to do that. I know it requires sacrifice on your part because he's not here, but at the same time, that also gives him an opportunity to know the quality people he has at the church, and somebody's got to step up and do it. So I'm pretty sure that gives you a good opportunity to be exposed to other people as well, and to know that the work of the Lord carries on. We're not indispensable, but we are thankful for the opportunities that the Lord gives us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for the fact that your Son has paid the price for us that we could not pay ourselves, and that his love for us was so great that he was just willing to take our place so that we could have a relationship with him. And so we pray that you might work in our hearts. Help us to be open. Help us to be receptive. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We pray that you might open our hearts and our minds to what you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Today we're going to be talking about a very familiar passage of Scripture, but at the same time, I don't want the familiarity of the passage to just kind of just say, okay, I've heard this before, and hopefully the Lord can open our hearts, open our minds to it, and we can see what the Lord would have for us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. We're going to be looking at those four verses, but Our emphasis is going to be on verses 18 through 20 this morning. The Word of God says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." This passage, obviously, for most of us, is known as the Great Commission. I fear that for a lot of us, it becomes a great omission, something that we know we're supposed to do, but we don't do. So hopefully we can glean some things out of it that will encourage us this morning to really do what God wants us to do. And I don't know if you realize, but all of us are supposed to be missionaries. We might have the official title or whatever it is, but at the same time, we are all supposed to carry the message of the gospel, no matter where we are or who we're with. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that is what God wants from us. And, you know, what is the mission of the church? Well, somebody put it this way. For some, the church is a safe environment to hang out until the rapture takes place. For others, it's a place to teach men, women, and teenagers and children. For a few, the church is a place to come and praise God while we practice until we get to heaven. But really, our mission is to win men and women to Christ. That is the mission of the church. We're supposed to love the world as Christ loved the world for the glory of God the Father. We are to love the lost the way God loved the lost world and be willing to give our lives just as Christ gave our lives, his life for the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in the context of this passage, it takes place in Galilee where the dominance of Christ's ministry took place. It took place after the resurrection. And most scholars believe that it took place to a crowd about 500 people or so, in a place away from the hostility of Jerusalem. And so that's where it took place. And so the Bible says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Complete control. All authority is given unto me. God is the creator. The Bible tells us, in the beginning God created. And then it goes down the list to tell us what all he created. And among all those things, he created you and he created me. And aren't you glad that you know where you came from? We don't have to wonder about, you know, what happened. We're no product of any explosion. So many people try to tell us that. We're not products of any monkey. Okay? Some of us might look like it, but we're not. And so it's good to know where we come from. We serve a God of order. And he created you. He created me just the way he wants us. And he created us very uniquely. Nobody has the same DNA that you or I have. We all have different fingerprints. That's what distinguishes us from anybody else. And you cannot tell me that just sort of thing just happens. And so God is our creator, but he's also our sustainer. He sustains all things. You don't have to turn there. I'll just simply read it for you. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him all things are created, things that are in heaven, things that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so not only did he create everything, but he has the power and the capacity to sustain all things. You know, the sun is not falling out, and everything else is all under control, because that is just the way God designed it to be. And so we can rest assured that that's the way it is. But not only is he creator, your sustainer, but he wants to be your savior. And so that is the reason why Jesus came to this earth, to be your Lord and your savior. And so many times we're okay with him being our savior. You know, we don't want to go to hell, but we don't want him to be our Lord. We don't want him, give him control of things. You know, we want to be in control. And that's just not the way it works. God has to have the control of all things. He deserves it. His power is unlimited and is free. For God, there's nothing impossible. And aren't you glad that there's nothing that's going to happen or is happening or will happen in your life that God cannot solve? God is and will provide the solution to all your problems. We just have to let him do it. And so many times we try to fix it on our own. And after we get exhausted and figure out that we can't do it, then we go, oh, Lord, if you get me out of this one, I promise you that I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. And then when he gets us out of it, we forget everything that we promised. And so that's just the way we do it. And Christ has his sovereignty and authority with no limitations. He is in absolute divine control of all things. You know, even with my limitations and different things, he didn't say, oops, I forgot about that. He knew what he was doing. And so the Word of God tells us that he's not going to give us anything more than we can handle. So if there's anything that's going on in your life, it's because God believes that you can handle it, and there's something that you and I have to learn from it. So all we have to do is go through it and let God work in our hearts. And so God is in control of all things. Now, in this case, who gave Jesus that authority? Well, God the Father did. And so this is why Christ deserves the preeminence in our hearts and in our lives. He is in charge, because it says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And so he deserves the preeminence. He knows each of us intimately. He knows how many hairs you and I have. For some of us, that's not too hard. But for others, it might be a little bit difficult. But he knows every aspect of our life. You know, we can put on a good show, you know. We can dress the correct way and look great. But you know what? God knows what's going on inside of us. And he knows who we are when nobody else is watching. And so we better be doing things the correct way. God promised that he was never going to leave us and never going to forsake us. And I don't know about you, but that is a source of great comfort to me. You're never alone. If you're a child of God and you feel alone, it's because you want to feel alone. Because you're off there having a pity party for yourself, and you forget that God is always with you. And so he's always trying to sustain us in every possible way. He's waiting for us with open arms, just like the prodigal son. After he went and he wasted all his inheritance, which, by the way, he asked for his father while he was living. That's pretty bold. He gave it to him. He wasted it. But yet he was looking afar off, because he knew he was going to come back. And so God does the same thing for us. So many times we stray, we go away, but God is waiting for us because he loves us. He tells us he's going to cast all his cares upon us because he cares for us. And I don't know about you, but nowadays it's good to know that somebody cares. Somebody is interested. The question is, are you willing for Him to be your Savior, but are you also willing for Him to be your Lord? A very familiar passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not upon thine own understanding, in all the ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So many times we want to control everything, but that's not the way God intended for us to do things. He wants to control our life because He knows what is best for us. Then we have a clear command that says, "Go ye therefore," in verse 18. This requires action on our part. And it literally means having gone, or as you are going. There's no option, well, if you think, well, when I feel okay, I'll go. No, we are all supposed to be going. It doesn't mean that we all need to go across the world. But you can go next door. You can go across the street. You can go to your coworker or the guy that studies with you or the guy that you play ball with or whatever it is. But it literally means having gone. So really, don't go across the world if you're not willing to go across the street. The original purpose of God was to have His nation, Israel, be the ones to carry on this great commission. But since they didn't recognize Him, God chose somebody else. He chose us to be able to do this for Him as well. And God used this small group of disciples on this hill to carry on this commission that would turn the world upside down for the glory of God. And that's what God can do. He can use the worst persecutor of the church, Saul, and turn him into Paul, and have him be the one that will also be a great leader of the church. We also need to be available. You know, our motto is, and Isaiah says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And our motto is, "Here am I, Lord, send Paul." You know? So we need to be available. If God wants to use you, don't try to pawn it off on somebody else. Be available. It requires immediate obedience to what God is asking us to do. Don't delay it. Don't put it off. The command is not going away, and God is not going to change His mind. So when God wants to do something, He wants you. He doesn't want somebody else. And Jesus needed to be obedient to His Father. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 38. Mark chapter 1 and verse 38. It says, "And He said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." The purpose of Jesus was to come and preach the gospel. And if that was His purpose, guess what our purpose should be? And so we need to be obedient to preach the Word of God, preach the message of salvation to other people, because that is what this world clearly needs. The command is for everyone, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, your physical condition. It's for everyone. Don't be afraid of sharing the truth that can set people free from sin. God is your authority and your source of truth. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by what? But by Me." So if He's the way and He's the truth, what are we afraid of? We have to speak the truth, but we have to speak the truth in love. You know, so many times you get people that are eager to witness to other people. And because they don't see immediate action, and you know, you're going to go to hell. And if you don't do it now, you know, well, we need to calm down. We need to do it in such a loving way that we show the truth. But we always need to leave the door open, because if they don't receive the message now, the Lord might send somebody tomorrow or the next day to do the job that needs to be done. Yet, somebody needs to plant something. Somebody needs to water, but it is always God who gives the increase. And so we need to be ready for those things. Consider it a privilege that God is asking us to be His representative. He can choose somebody else, but He wants you. He wants me. And we need to be available and ready to do that. This is a responsibility that we need to take it seriously. But we need to be faithful to that. You know, so many times, you know, my home church in Chicago, we had visitation day that was Thursdays. And so many times there were just two of us, you know. But then you have a basketball game, or better yet, you have a potluck. Whoa, it's full, man. And so sometimes we need to restructure the priorities that we have in our lives. God is in control. He knows what's best. But it requires sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money, sacrifice of certain comforts that we might enjoy, you know. Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, I don't want to go out when it's cold. But you know what? People are going to hell even though it's cold outside, or it's raining, or whatever it is. And so we need to do it. It requires that we deliberately go to seek the lost. For the most part, they're not going to come here. But if you don't invite them, if somebody doesn't invite them to come, or somebody doesn't go get them, you know, how are they going to hear about Christ? So we need to be deliberate about that. It requires prayer. Before you go anywhere and before you do anything for the Lord, you have to bathe your request in prayer. Let God know that you're depending on Him to do the work, and that you just want Him to bless what you're trying to do for Him. We need to fully rely on God and trust Him for the results. It requires power from the Holy Spirit in order to be successful. So don't try to do anything in your own strength. Try to do things in the power of God, and let Him be the one that gives you the results. It says, and teach all nations the truth about Jesus Christ. He came to save me from sin, from spiritual death, and from hell. The gospel is for everyone, the Jew first, then the Greek. The message is the same no matter where in the world you go or where in the world you find yourself. The message of the gospel is the same. Teach, it means make disciples. What is a disciple? A believing learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. Remember the call in Matthew, and we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. The call, we're supposed to be what? Fishers of men. And so that is what it means. It means teach that Jesus came to give us abundant life. Life that is worth living. Life that is, you're going to be fully satisfied. Life that has no better satisfaction. You're going to experience complete joy when you are living in Christ the way that you're supposed to be living. Teach all nations. They need to learn that without the gospel, mankind has no hope. The only message of hope that we can give them is the message of the gospel. Teach all nations by going yourself, or sending as a church people from every corner of the world. That's how we do it. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are what? Few. Because there's few that are obeying the call of God to reach the lost. teach them that hell is a real place, a place of torture and a place of torment. We have the example of Lazarus and the rich man. When it was too late, oh, don't forget to send somebody to tell my brothers. It's too late then. Let's do the message while we can, while we have opportunity. Sense the great sense of urgency that we're running out of time to tell people about Christ. And that we don't know because it says that our life is even a vapor. It's here today, but we don't have no guarantees of tomorrow. How do we teach our nations? By reading, learning, memorizing, meditating, and studying God's Word. How are we doing? Are we doing that? Are we satisfied with the little bit that we receive Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights? We teach our nations by preaching and teaching God's Word to others, by making disciples, by being the example that we need so that they learn what a true follower of Jesus Christ does. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of what? Christ. Now, when people look at your life and when they look at mine, what do they say? Are you a true Christian? Or do they say, man, if that guy's a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. Make sure that your testimony is what it should be, so that other peoples might see Christ and you. Mm-hmm. We teach our nations by using the Word of God to instruct and to rebuke others in love. Let's not forget the love part. You know, because God commanded His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, He's been patient with us, and so we need to be patient with others. And aren't you glad that somebody gave you the truth? Amen. We need to teach our nations by living a life that models Jesus Christ, by allowing the power of God to work in us and to work through us. And aren't you glad that God is not done with us? He who have began a good work in you shall perform it. He's not done with you. It's a good thing. It's not done with me. It's a great thing. And so we need to let God keep working in us and get away from us the things that are not going to be beneficial for our life and replace Him with those things that are going to be beneficial. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is a step of obedience, an ordinance, which Jesus was instructing the disciples to do. Baptism must always occur after salvation. Baptism is a step of identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And baptism must be done by immersion. The word in the Greek means to dip, to submerge, to immerse. This is the way that Christ did it when He was baptized. And every time that Jesus gives us the example how we ought to do it, there's no question of how we ought to do it. The Jew that got baptized was basically renouncing his family because he was going to be ostracized from that family for rejecting everything that he was taught. You know, and we don't know what it is to pay the price to follow Jesus Christ. You know, we think that if we go witnessing, somebody shuts the door on us, oh, I'm being persecuted. No, you're not. And so people are not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. Amen. And so let God worry about what's going to happen. Amen. We just need to be faithful with what God has commanded us to do. You become a disciple of Jesus Christ when you put your faith and your trust in Him and become a believing learner and a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to count the cost. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Obedience to God's commands always brings blessing. Don't question God. Don't doubt God. But if you want to be blessed by God, we need to be obedient. We need to teach people the whole counsel of God. Not just the parts that are touchy and feely good. Okay? You know, so many people hate to talk about sin because, oh, we might offend somebody. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that we're all sinners. And that we need to depart from sin and fear the Lord. And so we need to teach the whole counsel of God. We need to teach them to obey God, not just the rules. Okay? Following Jesus Christ is not just a set of rules that happens on the outside. It's what really happens on the inside. Now, obviously, the Bible tells us, you know, you are my disciples if you do what I have commanded you. Are we doing that? Are we doing what God has commanded us? Or are we just making sure that people think we are because we wear the right suit and we do all the right things externally, but in the inside, we're rotten sepulchers. And so we need to be aware of those things. Especially, you know, with people going to Christian schools. They're good. They're great. But you know what? So many times the product of that is that kids learn how to follow rules, but don't know how to follow God. And so we need to be careful with those things. We often sing. You know, I'm not going to sing because my voice is shot. But trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Do we trust? Do we obey? We sing it, but so many times we don't put it into practice. The Bible tells us that His commands are not grievous. They're not supposed to be a burden to you. They're very much a help to us if we follow them, if we apply them to our lives. But they're only not also not grievous. They're not optional. Obedience to God's commands guarantees that you and I will be successful in life. You don't believe me? Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But here it is. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to be successful in life? Obey God, follow His commands, and let the Lord bless you, brother. And so that is what God wants for each and every one of us. He is looking to bless you. Are you looking to allow Him to bless your life? The Bible also tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord. It's not only just a fear for, look out for what He's going to do to me if I don't obey. It's a fear that is born out of reverence for who He is. He's holy. He is just. He is love. And all those many things. But we need to fear Him first. And lastly, we need to celebrate His companionship and His watch care over us. And it says, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He will be with us wherever we go. That is a source of encouragement, but is also a source of great caution. Make sure that where you go, God wants to be there with you. Because if you go somewhere where you're not supposed to be, you're bringing shame to the name of Christ. And He doesn't want to be there with you. The promise of power in our life is always connected with the power, the promise of God's presence in our life. God promised that He was going to send somebody to guide us, a comforter, that He was going to guide us into all truth, so that when He was in here, we would still have God in us, and we would know exactly what we need to do. The Bible tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? We don't have to worry about that. God is always going to be with us. God is always going to help us. There's nothing impossible for Him. So He's going to be with us. The Bible also tells us that, you know, He's going to guide us into all truth. We don't need to worry about if people reject the gospel. We need to stay faithful, keep sharing it. God is the one who's going to give the increase. And when this life on earth is over for us, and we are His children, we are going to be with Him in heaven forever. And that's also a source of great comfort. We're all going to be the same. We're all going to be healed. We're all going to have eternity to praise God, to thank Him for what He has done for us. And that is a beautiful thing. And we need to look forward to that. To that day when He's going to come back for each and every one of us. But until then, we need to be busy. Until then, occupy till I come. And I hope that God will find us busy for Him. There's always stuff to do. And in conclusion, do you know today Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you don't, would you like somebody to show you from God's Word this morning how you can know that you can become a child of God? 1 John tells us, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. And God doesn't want you to leave here with any doubt. Do you consider yourself a wise person this morning? The Bible tells us, he that wins souls is wise. It's a wise investment of your time. It's a wise investment of what you have been taught by the Word of God. Are you investing your time, your money, your resources to tell other people about Christ? If you're not, God wants you to be. Are you participating today in the Great Commission by either going yourself to tell other people about Christ, by giving so that other people can go? Or are you simply allowing this to be the great omission in your life? I don't know where you're at this morning, but maybe you would say, Pastor, I'm not doing any of these things right now, but by the grace of God, I want to be. And so God wants to give you the opportunity to do so. I'm going to go ahead and finish in a word of prayer. I'll turn it over to your pastor and he can close however he wants. But let's think about these things and see what the Lord would have for each and every one of us. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word. We thank you for the fact that you have laid out for us a clear command to share the truth of God to others. We thank you that somebody took the time to share it with us. And shame on us if we don't share it with others. So help us. Give us a sense of urgency. Give us a burden. And help us to win the lost. You're the one that's going to win them. We're the ones that just need to be faithful. And so help us to be faithful, to carry on the command that you have given to each and every one of us. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunity that each one of us has to serve you in many different ways. And we thank you all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that sounded in some ways familiar, did it not? We've been going over some things related to the Great Commission and the Gospel recently, and that was an excellent complement to the things we've discussed here. And as you can see, our brother has poured out himself, given himself to the service of the Great King. And may you do the same with all of your strength and all of your ability and all of your mind, all of your resources. And well, before all of that, I just want to reinitiate that appeal that he made to us right at the end. You can't do any of that if you don't know Christ.
Amen.
And so if you're not sure, if you're in one of those modes like I was in college, and just like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm really saved or not. And God sometimes uses those times to really help us. As our brother testified, I had a similar testimony. After I struggled through that, I realized, yes, I have been born again. The evidence is there. It's God's work in my life. And now time to leave those doubts behind and plow ahead. But if you're in that mode right now, we'd be more than happy to help you to see from God's Word how you can know that you're born again and that you are on your not only on your way to heaven, but you are a servant of the King. Amen. Father, we bow before you now as we close, all standing before you in honor and reverence to the name of Christ. We thank you for what our brother has done in sharing the Word with us today. It is a great thing which he has reminded us of the Great Commission. May it not be omitted in any of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Ask your blessing on our afternoon, and then as we minister at American House, some of us, and then come back this evening for more from your Word, I pray that you will give us the fortitude to make a sacrifice in our schedule, in our time, of everything that we may serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.